Hello and welcome to another edition of Center Circle Live. Marty Thompson and Armin Badakian with you this week. A busy week in the CPL and the Canadian Championship.
It was awesome. Let's be real.
Starting on that Wednesday, that Canadian Championship, three CPL teams in action in all three legs, of that qualifying round three. And decent games. Some were way more exciting than others, but three decent results.
Yeah, I mean, it was about as good a result beyond like winning out that you could have really expected. The Halifax 3-2 loss to Ottawa Fury, I mean, it keeps them in the contention, so at least there's a second leg that they can look forward to. Vancouver Whitecaps versus Cavalry 0-0, and you have to imagine like Cavalry not conceding an away goal. It's perfect. I mean, that's as much as you could ask for from that matchup, and that you can go into BC Place and, you know, potentially nick one of your own. So then there's that York 9 game.
Yeah,
that was the big one. I think that was the game. That was the exciting one. That was like the cool like CPL versus MLS battle and back and forth. And unfortunate at the very end there, but I mean, talking points.
Yeah, 2-2 York 9 ending up drawing Montreal Impact at York Lions Stadium, and really it was two mental mistakes again that cost them the result.
We should say a packed York Lions Stadium. That was the like loudest we've seen that stadium, the fullest we've seen that stadium. So clearly that Toronto versus Montreal, Ontario versus Quebec thing is still very much alive. But yeah, I mean, that last minute penalty by Nathan Ingham, needless. I mean, if he could do that all over again, he would have stayed on his line. He would have let his defenders take that attempt. I understand why he wanted to. I mean, it's a big result. He's trying to do what he can to preserve it. But I mean, in slow motion, it's just brutal.
And at about 65 minutes or so, when Gasparotto kind of misjudged that clearance, it just fell right to Brownie, I believe. And
Brownie.
Was at that point, well, what, with 10 minutes to go, that was the story of the game. And then all of a sudden, bang, 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 Ryan Telfer starts it off.
I mean, we've seen this a lot. We've seen a lot where the Montreal Impact will score first, and there's this like sense of, oh no, you know, it's like you can kind of feel the atmosphere sort of change, and you're like, okay, now there's a mountain to climb before you're on somewhat even footing. But dude, Ryan Telfer steps up in a huge, huge way. I mean, that's not just a big goal for the significance. That was a big, big goal because of how he actually hit it. That's not an easy goal to score. And then on top of that, you go up 2-1 with Rodrigo Gattes. Like, I mean, it's perfect. It was on a plate for them to have an incredible day, and then just one tiny mistake. But still, 2-2, you'll take it. You take that to Montreal. It's going to be hard with two away goals, but at this point, if York 9 manages to squeak a win, there you go. There's your game.
Yeah, Telfer nearly set up a second goal right after, and then delivered that corner that Gattes scored on.
Yep.
And had obviously a very impressive game, and also had an impressive game on the weekend when York 9 took down FC Edmonton 2-1, scoring that winner.
Incredible counter-attacking play. I believe it was Ungaro or somebody hit the post for Edmonton, and then it lands at Aparicio's feet. Aparicio finds Telfer, and the rest is basically history. I mean, how do you stop a guy like that at that point? Like, it becomes a question of, like, no center back in the league is going to be able to keep pace with him, because Ryan Telfer is just a really, like, direct, clinical attacker. I think even Paulus said something like that, where he goes, like, no center back can actually, like, handle him when he's, like, in full pace. So, I mean, I think Telfer is emerging as one of those players who we always knew he was a star player in the league, but I think he's a star for the occasion. He's shown up when it matters. He scored the very first goal in CPL history. He scored the very first goal against an MLS team. He's scoring big goals for the club, game-winning goals for the club now. I mean, if you're, like, for example, Greg Vanney, looking at that, I mean, he is long known from Toronto FC, but you're looking at this like success, like a successful project across the board. You've given him meaningful time, and he's showing. So, I mean, it's definitely one of those situations where you know you're probably going to lose him back to Toronto FC, but you love to see him when he's here.
Former guest on this program, Oliver Platt, he tweeted about it about like around Wednesday or maybe a bit before, saying that, you know, maybe Telfer should be played center forward, should be like leading the line. And then at the end of the game, he was starting to kind of, you know, shift into that role a little bit. And if anything, Telfer's time in the CPL has just proven how versatile he is.
Yeah.
Because, you know, at TFC on the left, you know, that was his one spot to claim. And obviously he had experience playing up the middle, but now he's really shown it, right?
I like when left backs get converted to right wingers. I'm a fan of like Bayern Munich's approach to Alphonso Davies. I think it works, especially when those left backs don't necessarily offer you the kind of defensive like rigidity that you'd want out of a defender. I think Ryan Telfer is not a defender. I think he was used at left back because there was an opening there at TFC. But ultimately, it's a question of where do you get the most out of him? And I think, like Platt mentioned, and I think the way we're talking about now, putting him somewhere across that front line is not a bad idea. It would require a bit of a formation change from York 9, but I think it's one of those things that Jimmy Brennan might be able to entertain, especially if he and Gattas can keep finding opportunities for each other and finding the back of the net. It's a luxury to have at this point. Although, that being said, I did like Simon Ajaye on Wednesday. I thought he did a really good job. Against Edmonton on the weekend. I thought he did a really good job holding the play up and
got
getting
an assist
involved,
there
got
as
an
well.
Assist. So there's options, which is always good.
Yeah, shout out to Manny Aparicio for that assist. In his own third, in the corner, basically. That was great. So 2-2, York 9 drawing Montreal on Wednesday. And then the game after that, Cavalry taking on the Whitecaps. That one ended 0-0, but an exciting match and obviously a good result for Cavalry.
Yeah, we mentioned it. The actual scoreline, the permutations that emerge from this is heavily in Cavalry's favor. I mean, you still have to go into Vancouver and get a result, which is not going to be easy. But that being said, you didn't give away an away goal, so that's good. Anytime you score one of your own there, it's going to count as an away goal for you, so that doubles the onus on the Whitecaps. Like a draw, any scoring draw for Cavalry is advancement, which is amazing.
And they created tons of chances, especially off set pieces.
So this is my argument, and I've always said this. It's like professional athletes reach a certain kind of physical level where I don't think the difference physically is too wide. I don't think MLS players are necessarily faster or can jump higher or are more capable of, you know, slide tackles or jumps or any like those kinds of physical aspects. So it really becomes a matter of like opportunities being given, minutes being like afforded, and then like your overall kind of individual quality, talent, your ability to read the games, and there's the layer of tactics that you put on top. But I think Cavalry showed that, you know, the difference between a top level CPL team and, let's be real, a struggling MLS team like the Whitecaps isn't going to be huge because intrinsically these are the same players. The guys who are on that MLS team are the same guys that grew up with the elite players that are playing for Cavalry. You know, I mean, a bunch of those players are former Whitecaps players.
Yeah, Zator, Carducci, obviously. Yeah, played in the Canadian Championship for Vancouver.
Yeah, so I think this game was a good example of what that gap really looks like. Your gap is going to be found in your best players on the MLS side, but across the board, like, I think you can take six or seven of those Cavalry players and stick them into any of those three Canadian MLS teams and they'd be fine.
Well, that's what Mark DeSanto said after. You know, they asked, like, you know, there's some of these players that could maybe fit in. He said yes.
Yeah,
definitely.
Because, but that's the thing though, clubs don't build, like, this is a weird thing about roster building that isn't always talked about, but coaches will not always build a team of the 23 best players that they have available to them no matter what. Like, some of those roster spots, because you're not going to get minutes playing in roster spots like 20 to 28, those are given to young players who have the potential to one day be, you know, natural starters based on the overall potential or whatever ceiling they reach. And so rosters are sort of this mix of, like, ready talent right away plus players who are good enough to be utility players who aren't necessarily going to demand every single minute of playing time, plus young players who are still coming through. And that's how you build a team. It's a locker room that understands their roles and responsibilities, not necessarily the 25 best players you can find. Like, even Real Madrid, Chelsea, like these big clubs, Real Madrid could easily buy the 25 best players in the world and stick them all in one roster, but they don't. Mm-hmm. There's a reason for that. So I think that's kind of what we've seen now, is the level of play on Cavalry's best is equivalent to, I would say, at the very, very least, the bench of these MLS teams. And if not, some starters. I think a couple Cavalry players can start for MLS teams.
Well, in Cavalry, they showed depth of their own on the weekend.
Totally.
Against HFX. First half, that was quite slow. Obviously, both HFX and Cavalry played in the Canadian Championship. Very emotional games in each. And Oliver Minutel comes off the bench and scores. Mm-hmm. Sergio Camargo also came off the bench to give the assist there. That's their 11th goal scorer in just 12 league matches.
Yeah, I mean, it's very obvious that Cavalry's not stopping. They've wrapped up the spring, but they still want that fall. And you can tell based on the way they're playing. They're the only team to have a result out of HFX at home, which is...
And now twice. They've won twice.
They've done it twice. So it's going to be very clear. I think it's very clear to me that Cavalry's going to be, again, the team to beat. I don't think they're going to take their foot off the pedal. But I think now there's an opportunity for Tommy Wheeldon Jr. to experiment a little bit more, and you'll start seeing players like Minutel and a couple of their other like kind of bench pieces get a little bit more of a look. That being said, though, I mean, it was, again, like a pretty robust lineup for them. I don't think they were lacking for talent.
No. Oliver Minutel's former team, Ottawa Fury, mm-hmm. was in Halifax at midweek. 3-2, the Fury, the USL Championship, taking down the Wanderers. Really interesting game. Three very impressive goals.
Yeah,
I guess.
It was super. It was like, yeah, no, totally. Like De Freitas, he hit two just absolute out of nowhere.
Yeah,
but that's the thing though. Like sometimes those kind of goals, you throw your hands up and you go like, well,
and
the
Tiso's
soccer gods
goal
are smiling. Yeah,
it was like he's a defender.
Yeah,
it was so strange.
It's just one of those circumstances, I guess, where you know you look at those goals and maybe they weren't necessarily the most high percentage shots, but they did manage to go in. And that's the thing. I think that was a good game for Halifax in the sense that they got their two goals, so they showed that they can score against them. So the opportunity's there. Luis Alberto Perea did well, and now they have Juan Diego Gutierrez back as well. I think that second leg could probably serve them a little bit better on the attack. There's opportunities there, and the game isn't over. It's a one-goal margin, so those away goals are a bit tricky. I mean, giving up three away goals makes scoring ties very, very difficult, or even small margin wins very difficult. But, you know, it's possible that HFX goes into TD Place and gets a 2-0 win or even a 3-1 win, and that's when you sort of have the onus on Stephen Hart's team to really pile on the pressure. And I don't know if they're there yet. They don't really score away from home, so it's going to be a test of can they do it. I think Ottawa has one home goal in them, so they're going to need probably three. But luckily, the only times they've really scored away from home are in the Canadian Championship, and they've scored three goals so on both of those occasions. So it's possible. Anything's possible. I just think that this is probably that one tie that HFX is probably going to have a higher mountain to climb.
Well, going back to last week, Armin, we're in the studio. We're previewing these ties. Didn't really know what to expect. I mean, did you expect to see the results we did? I mean, two ties, one obviously in going in Cavalry's favor, the York one not so much, but, you know, still two results against MLS teams.
Yeah, I thought the only one that didn't go the way I was expecting was the HFX Ottawa game. I thought that was going to be a lower scoring, maybe like 1-1 tie or something. Mm-hmm. I knew the Impact would score just because York 9 doesn't necessarily have all the pieces to handle all of their pieces, but Safir Titor starting off the bench and not having Ignacio Piatti was a big, big reason, I think, for the fact that that was kind of an even match. I don't know. I feel like it defied expectations in the sense that I didn't think that Cavalry versus Whitecaps would be as close as it was. I mean, we knew Cavalry's a good team, but I thought the Whitecaps would at least get on the board, and then after that, it would be does Cavalry have a moment of magic in them? But kudos to all the three CPL teams for taking it to their opponents. I mean, that's the other thing. They didn't sit back. They didn't just absorb pressure and get lucky on their results. They took it to them. I think Jimmy Brennan kind of summed it up well. Before his game, he said he hopes that Montreal leaves and say York 9 gave them a good game of football. Like, this is how football should be played. And I think that's fair. I think Remy Gard probably leaves York Line Stadium and says, yeah, they're a good football team. And that's the magic of these kinds of cup tournaments is, yeah, the little guy can get a result. And they do. I mean, it's not unheard of. So leg two is really where we can look back, I think. It's still too early. We're only at halftime. But from this first half performances, at the very least, what I think we're going to get out of leg two is more seriousness from at least the MLS teams, who are now going to realize we can't just kind of hope that we're going to just get a result without really, really trying.
And quickly switching to the other CPL game on the weekend, we haven't mentioned Forge taking down Pacific 3-2 in another goal fest at West Hill Stadium.
Yeah.
Some crazy goals being scored. Borges with a brace and an assist to go with it as well.
But let's talk about that Blasco goal. Before we get into Borges, Blasco's goal was the goal. I mean, he's on fire. He's scored like 3 goals in like the last 3 games or something. So, yeah, Blasco reading a quick free kick routine beautifully, burns his marker, and then just slots it home. That was probably, to me, my play of the week. You can vote for your play of the week on the Center Circle app or by visiting campiel.ca. Sorry, quick little plug there. but yeah, I think was probably the goal of the weekend. But then Tristan Borges, a brace. And then after the game, Bobby Smirnoff goes, if you think he's 100%, he's not. Like, he's apparently been battling injuries. So my goodness, 6 goals. He's leading the goal scoring charts. It was a nice little game for both teams.
Yeah, that Blasco goal was funny because you saw Ben Fisk. You can see on the play of the week, so the videos are all there. But the way that Fisk just kind of like looks once and then looks twice, he's like, oh,
wait,
this is going to work. Yeah, I loved that. And quickly for Pacific FC, getting Hendrix Tarostic back, Lucas McNaughton, Caden Chung played as well.
Possibly Marcel DeYoung in the next few weeks.
I mean, that's...
ahead of schedule, apparently.
Honestly, great news for Michael Sobrebauer.
Maybe not a few weeks. Let's say a couple months still. I don't want to rush him.
Yeah.
But yeah, great news for him, getting all your key defenders back. I think Pacific definitely needed that because, you know, defense wins you games. And defense wins you titles, and they're really hoping for a fall. I mean, it's a reset table, so it's still wide open for everyone. It's not like Pacific's out of the running at all. So there's an opportunity here for them to come back, build on the things that are positive in their team, and then really kind of make a push for it.
And we're now joined by Cavalry FC's Nico Pasquati. Nico, how are you?
Doing well.
You played on the weekend. I just wanted to ask you about this. I think it was about the 35th minute. You had a couple. You're known for your long throw-ins in this league, but you were preparing to take a long throw-in at Wanderers grounds, and a kid blew on your back. He just kind of like gave you a little hey, how are you? I'm just curious what your reaction was to that. He didn't quite reach out and touch you, but he just wanted to maybe knock you off a little bit. What was the deal with that?
I, to be honest, I don't really know what he was trying to do. I don't know if it was his parents or his people that were just behind him. They were saying stuff. And then all of a sudden I just feel something blow on me. And I'm like, okay, I don't think that was the parents. and it was just a little kid right there, like reaching almost over top of the little fence line there. And I was just, I don't know, it just kind of caught me off guard. I was like, I can take the stuff from the fans, but then when a little kid blows on you, you know, it's kind of unexpected, I guess.
So that's kind of the whole HFX experience, isn't it? Like the raucous crowd and you got the kind of a party atmosphere. As a visiting team, what's that like? I think everybody sort of said that HFX is one of those places that they're really looking forward to go seeing, but what do you guys make of that atmosphere?
Yeah, it's different from any of the other ones. Like, even compared to ours, you know, we have a pretty big stadium, it seems. But, you know, theirs is a lot tighter in a sense that, you know, 5,000 at our stadium feels like way more than what they have at their stadium, just on kind of the way things look. But being that everything's so close and tight and, you know, the fans are pretty intense there. They like to try and get under, you know, the opposing team. The 2 times that we went there, it seems like every time there's kind of like a little stoppage in play, somebody from the crowd is yelling out something. So it's cool. It kind of adds to the atmosphere. I kind of enjoy it.
Well, you kind of showed in that play because a kid could literally just, you know, reach out and poke you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So
it's different.
I wanted to ask you about, so, you know, obviously you've kind of garnered a bit of a name for yourself, not to try to pump your tires or anything, but in the league, obviously with goal scoring and whatnot, but also these long throws. So I guess my first question is, do you think these are illegal?
You know what? Everyone seems to have an opinion on that. Even in Halifax, they're all telling me that's illegal. Right in front. And then, you know what? I've had, you know, 3 or 4 games, the official come up to me before the game and just, you know, drop his, you know, what the league's looking at. You know, they've been looking at obviously the throw-in itself, but they're not stopping me from doing it, so it must be legal.
Nico, I'm gonna stop you right
now. As far as I know,
Nico, I'm gonna stop you right now. Probably get a lawyer for this next bit. No, we're just teasing. We're just teasing. The long throw-ins aside, though, I mean, like, you guys have really shown a potency in your attacking play. And I think one of the things that has emerged out of Calvary is a lot of players, I think yourself included, who maybe weren't necessarily household names in Canadian soccer circles, have started to sort of recognize you guys in a sense. So my question, I guess, would be, is there something about the entrapments of fame that a soccer player experiences that you weren't necessarily prepared for? Like, are you starting to get recognized in Calgary, or what's the process been like from going from kind of an unknown name to being a star player for a professional soccer team?
Yeah, it's probably not as what you'd think. You know, I still, I can go anywhere. Nobody really recognizes me, right? It's more if they see a photo or something like that, but I haven't had anyone stop me anywhere. But, you know, it's, I don't change anything. Just from playing professional soccer, nothing changes for me. It's just, you just carry on, keep doing what you're doing, and the rest will kind of take care of itself.
So you grew up in Lethbridge, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're playing soccer in Lethbridge. Was kind of everything about Nick Ledgerwood, would he stop in? Were people talking about him? Like, isn't it kind of crazy that you end up kind of playing on the same team as him?
Yeah, it's cool because, you know, from that standpoint, I think, you know, if you ever heard of professional soccer in Lethbridge, the first name that comes up is Nick Ledgerwood. And, you know, he set the bar pretty high for what someone from such a small community can do. So I think in that sense, it's pretty cool that, you know, he's quite a bit older than me in a sense where, you know, it's interesting to see how our two paths have kind of came together. And, you know, that wouldn't be really possible without the CPL starting. So it's pretty cool, you know, for players like myself who, you know, wouldn't necessarily have had a chance to play professionally if it wasn't for this league. And then in the sense where he's able to come back and then we're meeting up. It's pretty cool.
All right, Nico, let's get to some meat and potato stuff here. Last week, you guys went toe-to-toe with the Vancouver Whitecaps, picking up a 0-0 draw in the first leg at home, which is about as great a draw result as you want. No away goals conceded. How are you guys feeling going into the second leg now? Are you guys kind of expecting a similar battle or maybe a raised level? Like, what's the mood like?
I think it's going to be a raised battle. You know, we know what they're going to be like. We know what the level is going to be like. We know what the intensity is going to be like. In that sense, not conceding at home, you know, the pressure's on them. Because if we slip one in, you know, at any point in the game in Vancouver, it's, you know, all the pressure goes on to them even more so. So I think for us, you know, going in, we got nothing to lose. We're not expected to win this game. We're not expected to be in this spot. So for us, we go in and we put out, you know, as hard as effort as we can, and then you know, get the result we need.
Well, I know, like, when you're in the middle of a game and the focus is always on, you know, your kind of game plan and your connections with your teammates, and it becomes a game management circumstance. But comparing it to, let's say, some of the regular season games you guys have played, did you feel a noticeable difference in the quality of your opposition as you were playing the Whitecaps?
Yeah, I would say there's definitely a difference. Like, they have, you know, the quality and the technical side of it is you can tell the difference. But in a certain sense, you know, as far as, you know, game management and, you know, that side of it, I think, you know, there isn't much of a difference. You know, we compete with them. We physically, I think, we compete with them. And there's no reason why we can't. We, you know, we showed it in the first leg. In the second leg, I think it's going to be kind of more of the same, where it's going to be a lot about game management as far as, you know, the tactical side goes. But physically, yeah, we're right with them. No, it's good. It's a good way to see how we line up against them.
Okay, Nico, we're going to let you go, but I just got one last question. How far can you throw the ball?
Over the mountain.
Love it.
That's one of the guys with our marketing team, he pointed it out from the Napoleon Dynamite movie with the Uncle Rico throwing the football over a mountain. So.
Yeah, that matches the aesthetic out there for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, Nico, thank you very much.
Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, no problem.
Nico Pasquati.
Yeah.
Can throw it over those darn mountains.
So which mountain exactly? Like, does he throw it over the mountain and it lands in like the flats of Edmonton? Like, is Jeff Paulus going to be conducting training and then just like a bunch of balls flying?
Just like asteroids falling to Earth?
Asteroids from the sky. Signed, Nico Pasquati.
Okay, my three big questions for this week. Before we get into that, though, I'd like to point out last week we did ask how many goals would York 9 score?
That's right.
Nobody said 4.
Nobody did. But I think, what did I say? 3?
You said 3.
Yeah. I said 3. And then.
That's correct. And you said they would beat Edmonton and score 2 goals in it.
And that's, I think I said that they would score 1 against Montreal and that they would score 2 against Edmonton and that they would win against Edmonton.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and then you said 1. You said 1.
I said 1.
Yeah.
Hold on. But Rodrigo Gattis would score once.
Yeah. So you did get
that. And he did score once.
All right. That's fair.
Okay, question number 1. So with Valor signing Jose Galan, which happened earlier today, we're recording on Monday, which CPL team will be the next to make a move?
That's a good question. I should preface
I
should preface this by saying that CPL editorial doesn't learn about transfers in advance of them actually happening.
No,
that's a different department in the league and we aren't privy to that stuff. So, that being said, I think maybe Valor again. I think Valor needs a striker, and they've addressed the Joseph Gulibar injury by signing another experienced midfielder, but I still think they need another kind of Stephen Hoyle-esque center forward. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say Valor again.
Something makes me think that Forge might try to make a move. I feel like they need another defender.
Yeah.
But, you know, especially with their performances recently, I don't know.
Yeah,
I have no idea.
I think the other team that possibly we might see make a move is York 9. I think they're at just the right point where they can probably add one more, maybe fullback, maybe another kind of versatile midfielder, and that's something that they can have off the bench as well. But again, I mean, it's literally a matter of like needs versus wants at this point for that club.
Mm-hmm. Well, sticking with York 9, mm-hmm. Question number 2, is Ryan Telford the best player in the CPL right now?
Ooh, yeah, so best is the key word there, right?
Yes, it is.
So this is the way I explained it on the breakdown this week, but I think it's worth repeating. There are star players in this league, Nico Pasquati being one of them, who's, I think, come out of the woodworks, out of the Canadian soccer woodworks, and have become household names, in a sense, amongst our kind of soccer sphere. Sergio Camargo, Tristan Borges, Nathan Ingham, Peter Schala, there's players across the league, really. But I think Ryan Telfer has emerged as the player who's a star on the occasion, you know? I think he's the guy that's really shown his ability to shine like a star player should when it counts. So that Montreal Impact goal, I think, is a pretty iconic moment. When we look back at the year that was in CPL, that's up there, along with the very first goal in league history, which he also scored. So would I say he's the best player? Maybe. He's up there. He's definitely up there. And we feel kind of foolish for not having him on the Spring 11. Mind you, that Spring 11 opened up a lot of different possibilities from a lot of different voices.
Yes.
So that's good.
Yeah.
At least we're having this conversation, right?
we're fortunate enough to have it.
I don't know if Telfer is the best player in the league. I'll leave that to other people to decide. But I would say that he's definitely top, I don't know, 5 at the moment.
So I thought that the key words in that statement were right now. Because I would say that he is, because he clearly has quite a level of confidence, especially playing against Montreal. Like, you would think, you know, you're down 1-0 to an MLS team, your first time ever playing against higher tier opposition. York 9 really struggled to create, you know, a whole ton of chances early on. And then he took that chance beautifully. And, you know, it was an incredible confident move.
Yeah, not to like, you know, diminish his individual efforts, but... Or to disrespect the opponent, I should add. But, Toronto FC players score against Montreal Impact all the time, right?
Yeah, I guess.
So, maybe that's, you know, there's a little bit of touch of magic there. But, again, the weekend performance was great as well. Telfer is definitely in a hot vein of form. and you know, kudos to him. I think we already spoke about it earlier today, but you know, there's a more attacking kind of mindset that he's displaying, and York 9 is all the better for it. Now, I know you usually have three questions prepared, right?
Yeah.
So I'm actually going to make you scratch that third one out, and I'm going to ask you a question this time.
Can you hear that? Yeah, I'm scratching it out. Okay.
It's because you've been the quiz master of late, and I feel like I got to turn the tables here. Well, the third one is usually a silly question, so let's do a silly question. If you could have any one MLS player take an Uber in the wrong direction and get stranded in the middle of nowhere, thus missing their game, their second leg match, which player would that be and why? Between either the Whitecaps or the Impact.
Wow, okay. Who's missing their Uber? Who's going the wrong way? I did really like Samuel Piette on Wednesday. I think I got to go with him. I think that he does just kind of control the play in a way that I think that the Impact, if they didn't have them, like, you know, tons of parts of the game, I would be looking and saying, like, if they didn't have that pivot, they'd be in trouble. So yeah. Probably him.
Plus, Joe Dechara would probably be, like, pretty happy not to have Piette.
And Murofushi, too. Yeah, like, Murofushi had, well, had a tough time. He did get some good moves on Piette, for sure.
So Piette ends up at, like, I don't know, St. Via Tour Bagels or something.
Yeah,
doesn't end up at Stade Saputo. I'm going to answer my own question via the Whitecaps. I'm going to say Ali Adnan.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible performance on the left. I think he's one of the most promising young players on that team. And I think if he wasn't there, that right flank where players like Pasquati like to attack would be much more prime real estate for, you know, crosses or deliveries. So if he ends up, you know, at Stanley Park by accident, then that's totally acceptable.
So I think Armin only knows like two places in each city or something.
Is that one sushi place?
Yeah, probably there.
That one Italian joint?
Or a brewery or the beach, I think. Yeah, sure. I don't know. Okay, see you next week.